Take a look at Pfizer because shares are jumping just around 10% today after the company said that its COVID-19 drug cuts the risk of hospitalizations by nearly 90%. So we want to bring in Suzanne Judge. She's a PhD and epidemiologist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham School of Public Health. And Suzanne, it's good to see you again. I guess put this in context for us. Is this pill a potential game changer when it comes to the fight to end the pandemic?
Absolutely. It's a huge game changer. It means that we've now got treatments for people when they start to feel symptomatic, that just like we do for the flu. So you could go to your pharmacy and get a pill and hopefully keep yourself out of the hospital.
We know that another company has a pill that's already been approved overseas that is incredibly inexpensive to produce and to administer. What do we know about the cost of this medication? Because it's kind of already been out there through HIV medications, right?
It has. We don't know for sure what the cost will be yet. We're not sure where it's going to be manufactured or whether or not it will be on patent. And all of those things drive the cost. But if it's anything like the Merck drug, it may be fairly inexpensive.
Suzanne, is this a pill that can be taken at home? I guess how easily could it become available and who potentially would be able to take it? Do we have any of that type of information yet?
We don't. We don't know what the FDA is going to clear. It probably will require a prescription, so you'll need a doctor to give you a prescription. You'll have to go to the pharmacy and get it, but it can be administered at home.
So what would you say to people, because we've had the endless discussion about vaccines since almost a year now, what would you say to people who are going to say, you know what, I'm going to put off getting the vaccine because there are these treatments that are coming down the pike, and if I get, God forbid, COVID-19, I got those treatments?
Yeah, you know, it's the old public health adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. There are lots of folks that would say, I don't want to change my diet. I don't want to lose weight. I don't want to quit smoking. I'll just take a pill for the heart disease. The same thing applies with the vaccine. Some people will say, I'm not going to change my behavior. I don't want a vaccine. I just want to take a pill. But at the end of the day, that's not your best strategy for staying healthy. The vaccine is a much better strategy. It keeps the virus out of our population altogether. And it really is a much better choice than waiting to get a pill.
Hey, Suzanne, let's talk about the news that we got out earlier this week. Children between the ages of 5 to 11, they can now get Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. What kind of effect do you see this having on the school year and the importance of keeping kids in school?
To me, this is the game changer. This is bigger than the pill that Pfizer or Merck could produce, because this is going to be our key to ending the pandemic. Children are far more likely to come in close contact with one another, to be with each other at school, to possibly be sharing germs and passing them back and forth. So having children vaccinated is a much better strategy in terms of keeping the virus at bay and helping to keep society safe overall. True that children don't get sick as often as adults, don't wind up in the hospital as often as adults, but they can spread it just like adults can. So having the ability to vaccinate children is just going to be incredibly huge for A, ending the pandemic, and then B, keeping schools open, which allows the kids to keep socializing and learning and really getting out of some of the negative consequences that we had in the pandemic.
You know, one of the great things of having someone like you, an epidemiologist, on the program is that you understand the course and trajectory of pandemics. So I want to ask you a question. We love having you join us, but I think we all look forward to the day where we don't do this on a regular basis. Can you give me a timeline where we might invite you in to discuss about something totally different than COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my bread and butter is nutrition. That's what I really do the bulk of my research on. And hopefully someday you'll have me back and I would guess 6 to 8 months. That's when we'll probably make it through these last few waves. There's not a variant on the horizon that's looking scary at this moment in time. We're watching what's going on in the UK and also in Eastern Europe because they're seeing surges. The Mountain West is seeing surges, but they all are predominantly Delta variant. So that's a good sign that we're probably nearing the end. There will likely be one more wave at least, but it probably will not be nearly as high as the last three we've seen. And it should resolve itself much more quickly. So I'm thinking by the end of next summer, that's probably where we'll be ready to declare victory.
And Suzanne, speaking of people, we were going back to our discussion a few minutes ago, speaking of people that have been resistant to get the vaccine or hesitant to get the vaccine, Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers, he is making his first comments after testing positive for COVID-19. Let's take a listen. He just made his first comments earlier this afternoon. Let's take a listen to what he had to say and some of the reasons as to why he's not vaccinated.
I'm the second non-vax player to test positive. It's pretty evident I tested positive being around a vaccinated individual. I mean, that's the majority of people I spend time with. There's been dozens of individuals that work at the facility that are vaxxed that have tested positive. So this idea that it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated is just a total lie.
Suzanne, comments like this, what we just heard Aaron Rodgers say from people who are followed by thousands, if not millions of people, very, very close, loyal followers to him. When he's making statements like this, some misinformation has been part of his statements over the last couple of months. I guess, to what extent does that complicate getting control of the virus and also getting more and more people vaccinated so we could potentially and hopefully put this pandemic behind us sooner rather than later?
It has huge implications. Like you said, he has lots of followers. People are going to hear what he just said, that it's a lie, that it's a pandemic in the unvaccinated. It actually is a pandemic in the unvaccinated. If you go to CDC's website right now, you'll see that unvaccinated individuals are nearly 100 times more likely to wind up in the hospital. That's what we're talking about. The vaccine was never designed to make it so that you don't get infected. We know that some people will get infected when vaccinated, but they'll stay out of the hospital and they'll hopefully not die. Aaron Rodgers is a professional football player with a great, healthcare regimen. He's not overweight. He's not obese. He probably doesn't have diabetes. He doesn't have the major risk factors that some of his very fans do have. And they'll hear him say, hey, it's no big deal for me. And they might say, well, then I don't need the vaccine either. We really need people to be on the same page with this one, looking at the data and, not making statements that just frankly aren't backed by data.